Probably recall it was early January last year that God blessed us with the arrival of Rob, Lucy and the kids. So I'm sure you'll join with me in thanking God for this provision. I can remember that John led one of the early services in January last year, talking about the changes that we're going to go through and the need for us to be strong. It reminded me of Joshua 1. Moses had died, and Joshua was God's appointed leader. He was about to cross the Jordan and lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And in a matter of just a few verses, Joshua is told, be strong and courageous. He's told that three times in just a very few verses. And at the time, I felt that we were being told not to be afraid, that we should step out and accept change without fear. We were being told to be strong and courageous. And as we look forward, I think we need to make our response to that. God has a plan for us, and we need to boldly step out, perhaps into the unknown, but placing our trust in the Lord.
There you go.
Just a verse from Jeremiah 29:11.
Should be right.
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope for the future. So I urge you to think about this. Ask yourself what God is expecting of you this year. What plans does he have for you? Today's title or subject that I'll be talking about later is It's Good to Praise the Lord. I just wonder what you feel has been missing from your worship over the last 9 months since the pandemic really hit us. For me, at the top of the list is sort of personal contact with the church family. It's all very well speaking on Zoom, but it's not the same as meeting people and talking to people. Next on the list is the fact that we've been unable to praise the Lord in singing together as a group. In a couple of minutes, we're going to have our next song. And for those with the privilege of being on Zoom, you'll be able to continue your worship by singing praises to the Lord in the comfort of your living rooms. So sing out loud. Sing praise to the Lord. For those of us in the church, however, we have to simply sing the songs within our heads, if that makes sense. So before we sing, can we first say the Lord's Prayer together, and we'll follow the contemporary version of the prayer. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the green and pleasant land in which we live. Thank you that we can come together in this way, in friendship and fellowship, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that in this pandemic in East Devon we continue to have a relatively low rate of infection. Thank you that we now have effective and safe vaccines, and we thank you for the scientists and for the doctors and medical staff who will eventually deliver the vaccines to everybody. Give them guidance, skill and wisdom, Lord. And at this time, help us to foster respect and solidarity with others. Help us to remain calm and help us to take time for moments of prayer. We pray for the persecuted church. Lord, we place into your care all those Christians being persecuted for their beliefs, for those who don't have anyone to hear their suffering and pain, for those who don't have anyone to love and care for them, for those who don't have anyone to tell their stories. We pray for their courage and strength of mind and body. And we pray for our church. At this time of crisis, give us the will to be witnesses in the world. Help us to recognise the opportunities to spread the good news, and give us the words to help us seize the moment. Help us to be a welcoming body of Christ, so that when people think about church in Ottery, they think of the people of God who worship with us. We pray for our church family. We give thanks for the safe arrival of Cora Mary Mackay, another granddaughter for Lorna. And we pray for Anne Brinton, for Lorna and Michaela, and also for Eric and Shirley. And we give you our thanks that the Randall family are now COVID-free. We pray for the children at their Sunday school, that they will learn and understand your goodness to them. We pray for those making the decisions about the reopening of the schools. We pray that they will be given wisdom and understanding, and that the children and young people will be safe in their schools, and that in these troubled times they will be able to gain the knowledge that they will need for their future. And we pray for those at university, and we ask that you will guard them, keep them safe, and guide them to be sensible. We ask for your protection for all of us at this time of trial. Help us to be sensible and follow the guidelines, and help us to be patient. But most of all, Father, give us your protection and peace. And finally, we ask you to watch and guard all of us in this week ahead, those of us who are here, those in the church, and those who can't be with us today. We ask you to be with us all. Keep us safe and help us to recognize when others around us need our help and care. And we ask all these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Right, our reading this morning is taken from Psalm 92. That's Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work, and I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen.
Okay, thank you, David, for leading us in prayer, and thank you, Michael, for this morning's reading. Well, I hope you're all fit and well this morning. I trust you've had time to break any New Year's resolutions you might have made, are wide awake and raring to go into the new year. Well, when I was at work and I had to have presentations or give a seminar or something like that, it was always the session immediately following the lunch break that I would try to avoid. This is because those attending a presentation at that time were very nearly asleep, not very sharp, and had been relaxing too much over quite a nice lunch. Well, I feel it's a bit like that, taking the first service following Christmas and the New Year holidays. So try to stay with me over the next few minutes if you can. So this morning's service, we're looking at Psalm 92. It's not clear who the author was, but it is headed up, a psalm, a song for the Sabbath day. And I'm led to believe that at one stage, and certainly in Old Testament times, this psalm was read out loud in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It's a psalm which extols praise to the Lord. It opens with the observation that it is good to praise the Lord. Of course, within the Psalms, there are many which do this. This one seems to be highlighted as special for the Sabbath day, the day of rest, the day for reflection, a day for worshipping the Lord. Looking forward through the Psalms from Psalm 92, you can see that there's a very high proportion of the Psalms that focus upon opening with or singing or giving praise to the Lord, or something similar. Psalm 95 starts, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord." 96 starts, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth." Psalm 98, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things." Psalm 100, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth." 103 and 104 start, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." 106, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And you can keep going. Psalm after psalm encourages you to give, that is, speak, sing, shout, praise to the Lord, right up to the last few psalms, 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150, all begin with, "Praise the Lord." Within the final psalm, 150, praise is mentioned 13 times in just 6 verses. Giving praise or thanks to the Lord is very clearly, or should be, fundamental to our relationship with the Lord. It's also clear from this psalm, and from many others, that we should be giving the Lord our praise and our thanks on a continuous basis, throughout the days, throughout the weeks, throughout the year. It should come quite naturally to us. But sometimes our circumstances make it very difficult to give our praise and thanks to the Lord. You simply don't feel like it. Sometimes, unless we work at it, we simply overlook God's provision for us. We become used to what we now assume to be the normal. Day-to-day life can just take over. And we fail to recognize what God provides to us. Life can become mundane and a little run-of-the-mill, and we no longer recognize how much the Lord has blessed us. Some of us have lost the wonder of God's provision. I guess it's not a great surprise. When we were kids, most of us had a lot to be thankful for from our parents. But a lot of the time, we simply took things for granted as normal. It's only as we grow up and we begin to recognize and perhaps give thanks for the love, care, attention and provision that our parents have given us over the years. So in order to give praise and thanks to the Lord, we need to keep a very clear understanding of the Lord's amazing provision for us. We need to have a real passion for the Lord and all that he does for us. If we have a sense of awe, then giving praise and thanks will follow naturally. Our praise should not be on the basis of a routine or a sense of duty. It should be from a bubbling up from or springing from an overflowing of praise straight from our hearts. If you've got a sense of awe about the Lord, then you can't help yourself but praise the Lord for all he does. The week before Christmas, Rob spoke on joy, and I guess giving praise to the Lord has a lot in common with joy in the Lord. If we really have a passion for the Lord, we are filled with overflowing with joy and we're unable to contain ourselves. The natural reaction is to praise the Lord. Let's just get back to the psalm we're supposed to be talking about. It opens with the words, "It is good to give praise to the Lord." That's not saying it's easy to give praise to the Lord, or it's good to give praise to the Lord when things are going well for you. Reading through the first five verses, the clear implication is that it's good to give praise to the Lord on a continual basis and in all circumstances. When you get up in the morning, through to when you retire to your bed at night. So why? Why is it good to give praise to the Lord? I think the rest of the psalm spells this out, really. Have you ever been in a position where you've done something for somebody, and although you didn't want any thanks, you never sought any thanks, you didn't want any praise, but you get given praise and thanks for what you've done? How does that make you feel? It's pleasing, it's encouraging, it's uplifting. It builds and strengthens your relationship with that person. It's good for you, whether you wanted it or not. You've been given thanks, and it's just good. And likewise, it's good for God to receive the praise he deserves. Praise for the love, the faithfulness, the grace that he shows to us. Praise for his deeds and his works, the works of his hands, the things he does for us. Praise for the protection that he gives us against the evil in this world. And praise because we have a relationship with him. This is pleasing to God. Yes, as God receives our praise, he's filled with gladness as our relationship with him grows stronger and flourishes. So it's good to give praise to the Lord because not only is it what he deserves, but it also makes him filled with joy. It's also good to give praise to the Lord because it's good for us. Yes, you and me. As you lift praise to the Lord, you're recognizing all the Lord has done for you. You're aware of his love and his care for you. You're built up, you're encouraged, you're strengthened, and your relationship with the Lord grows closer and stronger. It's also good to give praise to the Lord because it's good for the people around you. Your praise is infectious. A good word to use at the moment. Others see that your relationship with the Lord is strong. They see that you recognize what the Lord has done for you, and they see your faith. For those who know the Lord, this will be an encouragement, and it will strengthen them. They will also praise the Lord. For those who don't yet know the Lord, it will, as a minimum, show them where you place your trust and in who your strength comes from. So in short, it's good to praise the Lord because it's good for the Lord, it's good for ourselves, and it's good for those around us. The writer of the psalm has clearly given a lot of thought to this. He is made glad by the deeds of the Lord and sings for joy because of the work of the hands of the Lord. The Lord has done great works and has profound thoughts. Senseless men, or some versions of the Bible say stupid men and fools, simply can't understand what the world is all about. Yes, for a time the wicked will prosper and evil will appear to flourish. But this position is short-lived. They will actually be destroyed forever, whereas the Lord will be exalted. Indeed, the Lord will be exalted forever. This gives you a picture of eternity, the wicked and evil being destroyed, and it will be the Lord that overcomes and will be exalted. Surely the Lord deserves our praise. We need to be careful not to fall into the worldly trap. As we become used to many different things that we've been given by the Lord, we tend to place more and more trust in man. We're able to sort things out for ourselves. We don't need God. We can do things for ourselves. We don't need to rely on the Lord. We've got everything sorted out. We fail to recognize the Lord's hand in all things. Are we guilty of becoming senseless and foolish? We're easily satisfied, aren't we? Provided everything runs smoothly, then we're content, and we simply assume that this state will continue. We come to accept that man can solve his own problems. Praise for the Lord, recognition of his deeds, of the work of his hands, of his faithfulness, all that diminishes. We move away from the Lord, our relationship becomes more distant, and our faith grows weaker and weaker. It's not like being confronted with temptation that we have to resist. It's much more carefully hidden than that. It's a very gradual process. We don't even notice it happening. Then something happens, something goes wrong, and we do realize how fragile things actually are. We're not in control. We've been led astray. What happened to our once close relationship with the Lord? If we look through to the Old Testament, we need to take heed of the warnings that are clearly laid out. The cycle of the relationship of God's people with God. They start from a position where they're totally reliant on the Lord. And it doesn't take long before they forget what the Lord has done. When things are going well, they gradually move away from the Lord and become more distant. Until some disaster strikes, and then eventually they recognize what they've done. Repentance always follows and is a turning back to the Lord. And it's amazing, but it's true that despite this, God loves us. And by his grace, we can be forgiven. God has provided the way that we can repair and renew our relationship with him. We do have a lot to praise the Lord for. In the second half of the psalm, the writer continues to praise the Lord because of the things he's done for him. And he understands that it's the Lord who looks after him and overcomes his enemies. Verse 10 is making reference to the strength and courage that comes from the Lord. The reference to fine oils being poured over him is interpreted as the Lord blessing us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just as I mentioned earlier, like Joshua, the Lord wants us to be strong and courageous. We give the Lord our praise because he's the source of our strength. He's the source of our power. He's the source of our courage. The Lord pours out his Holy Spirit upon us and equips us to go out into the world and spread the good news. Verse 11 highlights the fact that the writer has seen the Lord at work in his life, defeated enemies, routed wicked foes. The Lord deals with things in your life that trip you up. Yes, you've had some challenges in your life, but God will deal with them. You're not immune to sin, but this will be dealt with. You may not yet be perfected, but if you look back and see how the Lord has dealt with some of your issues, you'd be amazed. We're all a work in progress, and we're being refined by the Lord on a gradual basis. Now, what a great encouragement we're given when we're told that we shall flourish like the palm tree, a wonderful symbol of elegance and fruitfulness. And we shall grow like the Lebanese cedar trees. These are very tall, majestic, strong trees, a picture of deep roots and stability. You'll see reference to these trees being used in the building of the temple. And this is the picture that is trying to be conveyed: strength, stability, majesty. But we will find ourselves firmly planted in the house of the Lord. We will flourish in his courts. This is what we can look forward to. This is what we've been promised. It is certainly good to praise the Lord. And as we grow old, we're told we will still bear fruit and continue to proclaim that the Lord is upright. He will remain our rock, our foundation, on which we've built our lives. Yes, it's good to praise the Lord. Let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for being with us this morning. You know our needs, and we thank you and praise you that you provide all that we need. We ask for your guidance for the future and the strength and power to move along the path that you would have us follow. Lord, we ask that you would fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit and give us the power that we need to fulfill your plans. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.